Today's shiur, Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Zayin. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Even though our shiur is focused on Daf Yud Zayin, the first line of today's shiur will be found at the bottom of Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah mentioned Sanhedri Gedola Hoysa Shel Shivim Ve'echad, that there were 71 members in the great Sanhedrin, and Rabbi Yehuda said 70. The Gemara asks, "My taimo de Rabbanon de Amri u'moisha al gabehen." What is the source for the Rabbanon who said 71 by saying there were your basic 70 and Moshe Rabbeinu was part of them and over them? In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was part of the number of the Sanhedrin. Before we go on, we have a geometric form that we are now encountering, the house form. If we glance at the outside margin, we have a nosei mivneh, a topic heading with structural note explanation. Notice the house form is featured. Mekuros l'shitas harabbanon. We're seeking sources for shitas harabbanon. The Sanhedrin have a shivim ve'echad, that the Sanhedrin was 71. Shivim zekenim u'moshal gabehem, 70 sages, and Moshe Rabbeinu appointed above them or in charge of them. The Gemara continues. Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, Esfali Shivim Ish, and the continuation of that Pasuk is, V'hisyatzfu Sham Imach. Gather 70 people and stand there with them together with you, which equals Imach V'at Bahadayu, namely, the 70 and you with them. Rabbi Yehuda said, only 70, not 71. The word imoch is mishum shchina. Rashi explains at the top, imoch mishum shchina, and Rashi has two approaches. Imoch ya'amdu michutz le'oihel, velo yavo'u le'oihel mishum shchina. In other words, they should stand with you outside of the Mishkan. You should not enter the oil, the tent, or the Mishkan, because of the divine presence that was there. But Imoch is not coming to say that you are part of them. Loshon Acher, Mishum Shechina, Shetashre Shechina Alehem, Hutzruchu Lios Moshe Imohem. That in order for the divine presence to dwell, to settle upon the 70, Moshe Rabbeinu had to be there so as to draw, so to speak, the divine presence. Kedichtiv, Atzati Min HaRuach Asher Olecha. As the Pasuk indicates, that the divine presence came as a result of Moshe Rabbeinu being there. With that in mind, the Gemara continues, V'rabbanan, what is their new response? Omar Kro, they cite another Pasuk, V'nos'u itoch, B'maso ha'om itoch, V'at bahadayu, namely, the judicial matters of the nation were conducted by the sages, and you with them. Once again, Moshe plus the 70. Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda respond to this? Itoch equals bedoimin loch. The Pasuk is saying that they should be like you. In other words, people of yichus, of pedigree, of proper background, as opposed to, let us say, a slave background. And they should be free of imperfections, menuka mimum, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rabbanan, where do the Rabbanan learn this idea that the members of Sanhedrin should be of a proper background and physically complete? V'hokel me'olecha v'nasu itoch nafka v'yalfa sanhedri gedoyla mi sanhedri ketana. This pasuk of v'hokel me'olecha v'nasu itoch is stated by the minor Sanhedrins, the 23 Sanhedrins. And in that pasuk we see v'nasu itoch, we see the itoch word used, namely, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was free of imperfections, so too the minor Sanhedrins were, and we learn the characteristics of the major Sanhedrin from the characteristics of the minor Sanhedrin. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a new topic, the Nosei. It's featured on the outside margin, Eldad Umedad. These were two figures that appear in Sefer Bamidbar, and they will be featured in this discussion. We also have a Mivneh featuring a diamond with a colored in top. These are two base Pirushim, Al Vayish'aru Bamachane. Pasuk makes reference to the gathering of people to serve as heads of Klal Yisrael, the gathering of the 70 elders. And the Pasuk says that there were two that remained in the camp. We'll see two explanations. And we've also used a double underline with dots in it to highlight the two explanations. The first one meaning, Bakalfi Nishtairu. They did not come to draw the lots that will be spoken about in this source. In other words, their lots remained in the receptacle. So Vayish'aru, they remained in the camp. Namely, they had their lots remain in the Kalfi, and they did not come to draw them. The second approach is Bamachane Nishtairu. They stayed in the camp and didn't come to the ceremony involving the choosing of the sages out of humility. So the first pshat is based on fear of not being chosen, and the second approach is based on their humility. Let's continue now in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Notice before we read this, of course, we have incorporated a slash marking, indicating that this particular discussion is, though in general related to what we had before concerning the 70 elders, it's a totally new thought process. Tana Rabbanan, Vayisharu Shnei Anoshim Bamachane. This pasuk is a reference to Eldad and Medad, and it says that two men remained in the camp. Yesh Omrim Bekalfi Nishtairu. That they remained in the Kalfi. They remained there. Their lots remained in the Kalfi, a receptacle holding the lots. What is the meaning of these lots? We will see that in the ensuing lines of the source. Shebishol Shamalor Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe, when HaKodesh Baruch Hu asked of Moshe, Esfali Shivim Ish Mizikne Yisrael, gather for me 70 men from Klal Yisrael. Omar Moshe Ketzedes. Moshe said, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? We just want to note before we go further that the whole parsha of gathering the 70 sages came on the heels of Moshe Rabbeinu's complaint to the Kodesh Baruch Hu after the nation was complaining about their lack of meat. And the burden became very heavy for Moshe Rabbeinu to deal with all of these complaints. The idea arose, gather 70 people to assist in the leadership process. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I want 70 men. Moshe Rabbeinu says, how am I going to do this? And we'll see the hesitation of Moshe based on the following scenarios. Aleph, Evor, and we've double underlined the word Evor, indicating the series of Hitlab Tuyot, his hesitations that he goes through. Aleph is Evor Shisha Mikol Shevet Veshevet. If I choose six from each tribe, there are 12 tribes, Nimtzu Shnayim Yisarim. Well, 6 times 12 is 72, and there'll be 2 extra. Kodesh Baruch Hu asked me to get 70, not 72. Evur Hamisha HaHamisha Mikol Shevet V'Shevet. If I choose 5 from each Shevet, that's 5 times 12. Nimtzu Asora Chaserim, because 5 times 12 is 60, and Hashem asked me to gather 70. I'll have 10 missing. Evur Shisha Mishevet Ze V'Hamisha Mishevet Ze. If I choose 6 from one shevet and 5 from the other, in other words, to arrange a situation where I come up with a total of 70, but a non-equal number from each shevet, then hareini matil kino bein hashvatim, I'm then causing a sense of jealousy amongst the shevet. In other words, that shevet that provided more men will arouse the jealousy of that provided fewer. Ma osa. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Birer shisha shisha. He chose 6 men from each shevet. Vehevi shivim ushnayim piskin. And he brought 72 piskin lots. Al shivim kosav zokain. On 70 of them he wrote zokain, sage. Veshnayim he niach chalak. And 2 he left blank. Bolalon v'nosnon b'kalfi. He mixed them up and put them in an urn. Omar lohem bo'u utlu piskechem. And he said to the people there, come and draw your lots. Kol mi sha'olo biyodo zokain. Anyone who drew a lot indicating with that word on it, Omar, Moshe would say, kvar kidshoch shamayim. You've been sanctified or chosen by heaven. Mi shola biyodoi cholok, Omar, hamokim lo chofetz b'cho ani ma'aseloch. The fact that you drew a blank lot is an indication that a Kodesh Baruch Hu hamokim doesn't want you. What can I do? Before we go any further, it's essential for us to look at Rashi. The upper part of the page, mi shola biyodoi cholok, ushnayim me'oisan shivim, shaholchu litoil. Ola biyadoi cholok. 2 of the 70 men that went to draw, true that 72 were invited. 2 of them didn't go at all. They remained in the camp. Those were Eldad and Medad. 2 of them who did go, 2 of the 70 who went, drew lots with the blank lots. And there remained in the urn v'nishtayru shnei piskin shehoyu ksuvin b'kalfi. There remained in the urn 2 lots that had zokain written on them. Now those 2 lots belonged to those 2 people who didn't go to draw them in the first place, because the 2 blank lots were drawn already. And they were shehoyu shel eldad u'medad shelo chulito. Those 2 lots belong to Eldad the Medad, who didn't go to draw. Why didn't they go to draw? She nisyoru, they were fear-struck. Shelo yale biyodon cholok, they were afraid of drawing blank lots. So with this, we see the interpretation of the Yeshomim, the first diamond approach, which said, "Bekalfi nishtairu." They remained in the kalfi, meaning they, Eldad u'Medad, their lots with zokain written on them remained in the urn. At this point in the Tanaic source, which is a long source, as you can see by the entire framed-in section in our marking system, framed sections represent Tanaic sources. We have now a bracketed section. We explain the brackets as follows. If you notice, there's an asterisk, and that accompanies an explanation on the margin. The sochasograim, within the brackets, muva oid dugma shel ksivas piskim. Another example, another incident of lots. Ka'elu v'ka'elu. Each example on its own. Aval ein zu kashur le'eldad u'medad. But this example is not related to Eldad u'Medad. It's merely an example of lot drawing. That's why it's put in the bracketed section to set it off of the general discussion of Eldad Umeidad. Achrei HaSugrayim, HaBraisa Mevi'ah Oid Pirush VaYisharu BaMachaneh. After the bracketed section, you will see the second diamond with another explanation of what VaYisharu Min HaMachaneh means. The length of the bracketed section we feature in our marking system, a length indicator, and you can see that by the dash dotted vertical line to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text between the Gemara and the Rashi. We continue with the bracket accession. There's no need at this point to skip it, being that we've already explained the structure. Kayotze Badover Atomer. Similarly, we say, in the context of Pidyon Bechor, the sanctity that was once upon the firstborn of Israel was transferred to Shevet Levi. And that transfer of sanctity is through Pidyon Bechor. The number of firstborns in Israel was greater than the number of Levium. As a result of that, let us say, had the number been equal, we would have simply said the sanctity that was upon the firstborn was transferred to the Levi, to a corresponding Levi. That would have been fine had their numbers been equal. But the fact is that there were extra Bechoros, and 273 of them. As a result of that, what will they do? What is necessary to be done in order to relieve them of their sanctity? And that's done through what's known as Pidyon Bechor, the transfer of the sanctity onto five Shkolim. But of course the question is, which Bechor is going to be expected to pay the five shekel? Each Bechor is going to say, my sanctity is transferred on a Levi. I don't want to pay. Let's see how this is dealt with now in the source. The Pasuk says, V'lokachto chameshes chameshes shkolim legolgoyles. You'll take a payment of five shekel per Bechor in order for him to have his sanctity transferred to the money. This is from the extra Bechoros, those that were beyond the number of Levium. Omar Moshe, Ketzad Esed Lahim Yisrael. How am I going to deal with this? Im Omar Lo Tein Li Pidyon Chovetzeh. If I turn to a Bechor and say, give me your redemption money and you're free, Yomar Li, he will say to me, Kvar Podani Ben Levi, my sanctity is transferred on a Levi. Ma Osa, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Hevi Esrim Ushnaim Alfen Piskin. He prepared 22,000 lots. V'kosav Alein Ben Levi. And on them was written the expression Ben Levi. V'al Shloisha V'shivim Umasayim, on 273 lots. The number of Bechoros that was above the number of Levium, the 273, Kosav Aleim Hamisha Shkolim. The expression five shekel was written on them. Bolon Venosim Bekalfi. Mix them up and place them in an urn. Omar Lohen Tlu Piskechem. Come and draw your lots. Mishol Biyodo Ben Levi, Omarlo Kvar Podoch Ben Levi. He who drew a lot that had Ben Levi written on it, Moshe would say to them, you have been redeemed by a Levi. Mishol Biyodo Chameshes Shkolim, Omarlo Tein Pidyon Chovetzeh. He who drew a lot indicating five shekel, Moshe would say to him, pay. Rabbi Shimon Omer, going back to the issue of Vayish'aru Shnei Anoshim B'machaneh, Rabbi Shimon says, B'machaneh Nishtairu, they remained in the camp. B'shal She'omar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, Esfoli Shivim Ish, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, gather for me 70 men, Omru Eldad U'Meidad, Ein Onu Re'uyim Lo'oysa Gedula. We're not fit, out of humility, they said, we're not fit for that greatness. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hoyu U'mi'atetem Atzmechem, since you have reduced yourselves through humility, Hareini Moisif Gedula al Gedulaschem. I am going to add greatness to your greatness. Uma Gedula Hoisif Lahem. And what was that greatness that he added to them? Shehanaviim Kulan Nisnabu Upasku. The others said prophecy, but ceased, but stopped. Behem Nisabu Vilopasku. They continued saying prophecy when all the rest had stopped. Uma Nivua Nisabu. What was the prophecy that they continued saying that after the others had stopped? At this point, we see a triangle with a color in top. These represent a series of opinions. We featured it on the outside margin. Three deois. Ma hoisa nivu asam shal eldad umedad. What was the prophecy that they were saying? So the first approach, Amru, they said, Moshe meis Yeshua machnis es Yisrael aretz. They prophesied Moshe Rabbeinu's death and that Yeshua would be the one to bring the Jews into the land of Israel. Abba Chonin omer mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Al iske slov kein misnabim. They said prophecy concerning the slov, a type of bird that would serve as meat for them. And they said, alei slov, let the slov arise. Rav Nachman omar al iske goigu mogog hoyu misnabim. They said prophecy concerning the war of Goigu Mogog. Shinemar, in the prophecy concerning Goigu Mogog, sometimes translated or referred to as Armageddon, Koi Omar Hashem Elohim Ha'atohu Asher Dibarti Biyamim Kadmonim Biyad Avodai Nevi'e Yisrael. Referring to Goigu Mogog, Hashem says, are you the ones that I spoke about in the early days through my servants, the prophets of Israel, Hanib'im, Bayomim Ohem, Shonim, Lehavi Oischo Alehem, that prophesied in those days concerning my bringing you upon them. Al Tikri Shonim, don't read the Pasuk as years, Eloshnaim, since the prophets are written without vowels, there is an option of reading this word as Shnayim. Even though the actual reading is Shonim, you can interpret it this way. V'ezo hein Shnayim Nevi'im Shenisnabu B'perek Echad Nevu'ah Achas. Who were the two prophets that prophesied at the same time the same prophecy? Hevi Omer, Eldad Umeidad. Omar Mar. The Gemara now goes over a point mentioned earlier, and you can see there's an arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text indicating to find a parallel arrow a few lines up, and you'll see from where this quote comes. Omar Mar, a quote from above. Kol hanaviim kulam nisnabu pasku vehein nisnabu velo pasku. The other prophets prophesied and stopped. They continued. Mino lon de pasku. What is the source that indicated that the others prophesied and stopped? Ilema midichtiv. We've indicated the ilema with an underline and a one to indicate a stages in addressing this question. So if you say midichtiv vayisnabu velo yosfu, and try to interpret the expression velo yosfu, we've dot underlined that and we'll see why momentarily, that they prophesied and did not continue. Elomeata, if you're going to interpret velo yosfu as did not continue, what are you going to do in the following context with a pasuk concerning the Shechina, the divine presence, that says kol gadol velo yosaf? Hachinami delo osifu. Are you going to say velo yosaf means not continuing? Impossible. One would never think that the Shechina does not continue to issue its kol gadol. Elo delo posakhu. The expression kol gadol velo yosaf means that the kol of the Shechina did not stop. Hence, we can't rely on the expression vayisnabu velo yosfu indicating stopping. Elo hocha ksiv in the context of the prophets at the time of Elder Dumeda, the other sages, it says, Vayisnabu. Hasam, with regard to Elder Dumeda, it says, Misnabim, which is a verb of presence, which equals Adayin Misnabim Vahochim. So, by word contrast, in the context of the others, it says, Vayisnabu. Says there by Isnabu Vayvaloyasu, but it uses the past tense, whereas by Eldar Umeidad it uses the present tense. It indicates they continued, whereas the others stopped. At this point, the Gemara is going to go back and analyze the three opinions that we featured above in the triangles. In order to accentuate the structure of the Gemara, you can see that we have featured a brackets from the Omar Mar, a few lines up, till this point. Because the section up till this point within the brackets was dealing with a side point, in effect, whereby the Gemara before had started the issue of what was the prophecy that they prophesied. Then there was an interruption featuring the quote from the big source, and now we're going back to the different opinions as to what was the nature of their prophecy. Hence, the bracketing session serves to show how what we're doing now is connected to that which appeared before the brackets. Bishlamo lamande Omar Moshe Meis. Notice we have a triangle, number one, and we also have an asterisk here to help you find where this is coming from. So this is the first opinion as to what the contents of their prophecy was, and that was that Moshe died. Moshe would die. Hainu dichtiv. With this explanation, I can understand the pasuk by Yehoshua that says, where Yehoshua responds and says, Adoni Moshe Kloim. Yehoshua, upon discovering the prophecy of Eldad Medad, he said, get rid of them. Yehoshua was defending the honor of Moshe. Here, these guys are saying that you're going to die. Let's get rid of them. Omar, so I can understand Yehoshua's reaction if you accept opinion one as to the contents of their prophecy. Elolamand Yomar Hanoch Tarti, but opinions two and three, whether it be Iske Slav or Iske Goygu Magog, my Adoni Moshe Kloem, why did Yehoshua react so harshly? Answer, Dalav Orach Aro. It's not derech eretz for them to prophesy. Dehavilei ketalmid hamira halacha lifnei rabbi. It's similar to a student issuing halachic rulings in the presence of his rav, and that carries with it a chiyuv misa, warrant for one's demise. So, two, their saying prophecy, as they did, was like Meira Halach B'fnei Rabo, and that aroused Yehoshua's ire. Bishlamo Lamandar Mahanoch Tarti. I can understand well, in this case, opinions 2 and 3. Hainu Dichtiv Mi Yitain. We have an asterisk indicating the Pasuk, and it's on the inside margin. Vayomer Lo Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu responded to Yehoshua, who seemed to be very upset, and Moshe said, "Hamekani atali, are you jealous for me? Umi yitain kol am Hashem neviim ki yitain Hashem esrucho aleim. Who would give that they that the nation of Israel should be prophets just like them? In other words, it's wonderful that they're prophesizing. Well, if you say opinions 2 and 3." They were prophesizing prophecy that would be grounds for Moshe Rabbeinu to say, Halavai, everyone else should do the same. Ela Laman Omar Moshe Meis. But according to the opinion that the nature of their prophecy was that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to die, Meinach Ave Nichole, Moshe Rabbeinu was happy with that? Absolutely not. So the Gemara answers, Lo Saimua Kamei. Moshe Rabbeinu was not informed, according to opinion number one, Moshe Rabbeinu was not informed at that point as to what they were saying. All that Moshe Rabbeinu knew was that they were prophesizing without knowing the contents, and that was cause for Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction that it should only be that all of the people should prophesize. My Kloim. We saw in the Pasuk that Yoshua said, Adoni Moshe, Kloim. What is meant by Kloim? Which literally means get rid of them. It was Yoshua suggesting something like kill them? No. Omar Le, Hatel Aleim Tzorchei Tzibor. Yoshua was suggesting appoint them to some type of public role. Vehen Kolin Me'aleim. And because of their preoccupation and the difficulty one encounters in public office, their prophecy will depart from them. The Tosfos points out that prophecy comes about only from a state of happiness and not atzvus. And you can see from this Gemara that being involved with Tzorchei Tzibor, being involved with public roles, does not engender happiness and joy. Hence, the two are mutually exclusive. And that was what Yoshua intended when he said, Kloim, get rid of them, meaning get rid of their prophecy through giving them public roles. Minayin lohavi oid shloisha. The Mishnah spoke about our ability to account for 20 judges of the 23 by the expression v'shoftu ha'eda v'hitzilu ha'eda. And the Eda word meant 10. Twice 10 is 20. How do you get to 23? So we have to add 3. The Gemara continues. The Mishnah had mentioned that we add 3 because the difference between the majority for positive is different than the majority for negative. The majority for positive is 1. The majority for negative is a majority of 2. But at this point, I'm going to have how many judges for the minor Sanhedrin? 23. How do you ever come up with a majority of 2 for the negative, for condemnation? Let's look at the Gemara and see how mathematically it just doesn't work out. We've entitled the sugya on the outside margin, the Nosei, Mosai Befoil, when in practicality, Yesh Haro Api Roiv Shel Shnayim, do you have a negative judgment, a condemning judgment, based on a rove of 2? The Gemara says, Soif Soif, after all is said and done, L'ro Api Shnayim Lo Mishkachas La, given the number 23, you will not have a majority of 2. For example, E achad osor mezakin ushneim osor mechayvin. We've dashed underlined the word mechayvin, indicating this is the emphasis, the negative judgment, the condemnatory judgment. In this case, you might have 11 saying innocent, 12 saying guilty. 11 and 12 is a total of 23. However, that doesn't fulfill the requirements of a majority of 2. Akati chad hu. It's only 1. A majority of 1, 12 over 11. E asora mezakin ushloisha asor mechayvin. If you adjust the numbers by 1 more, what do you come out with? You come out with 10 ruling innocent and 13 ruling guilty. And once again, we've dashed underlined mechayvin because we're trying to find the majority of condemning opinions. Well, tlosa havu. You have a majority of 3. How is it then that I ever will have a majority of 2? Omar Rabbi Avo, I ato motze elo b'mosifin v'divrei kol. One possibility is you can have a majority of 2 in the case of a court of 23 where one of them says, where one of the judges says, I don't know. As a result of saying, I don't know, the halacha says you have to add two judges. The one who says, I don't know, is as if he's not there. So if that be the case, I now will have an even number of judges. And in this case, I'll have 24 judges. And with a number like that, I can have a situation of, on the next vote, 11 saying innocent and 13 saying guilty. 11 and 13 is 24. And the difference between 11 and 13 is a difference of 2. In this case, 13 a majority, hence a majority of 2 condemning. A second possibility of having a majority of 2 is Ubisanhedri Gedoila Vialibid Rabbi Yehuda Yomar Shivim. In a Sanhedrin Gedola, which Rabbi Yehuda says is 70, I can have a majority of 2 by having 36 condemning, 34 ruling innocent. V'yomar Rabbi Avo, b'mosifin, in the context of this issue of mosifin, of adding judges, and we just mentioned that takes place when one of the judges says, I don't know. So when you have mosifin, oisin bezin shoku l'chadchila, we are in effect making an even numbered beis din. Of course, this an even number beis din is an eyebrow raiser, because we know that one should not have an even number beis din. But given the circumstances that one says, I don't know, this is the procedure. And Rabbi Avol says, we are hereby creating a beis din shokel. Or says pshita, what is Rabbi Avol informing us that I wouldn't know otherwise? So mahu detema, without Rabbi Avo, I might have thought, hai dekomar eini yodea, the one judge who says, I don't know how to rule, kiman deise domi, he is as if he is present, the omar milsa, and if he were to offer an opinion, shaminole, we would heed his opinion. Namely, after he says, I don't know, if he were to speak up and say some type of opinion, I would listen to what he says. Komashmulon, the high, the gomar, eni yodea, Rabbi Avo is telling us that through that which he said originally, I don't know how to rule, keman the lese domi, the e omar taimolo shaminole. It's as if he's not there. And therefore, any subsequent opinions that he tries to raise, we do not heed whatsoever, because it's as if he's not there. Omar of Kahana, Sanhedri Shiro Kulon Lechoivo, Potrin Oso. If you have a Sanhedrin that there was a unanimous opinion condemning, the defendant would be let free. My time off. Why is that? Seems to be the ultimate in absurdity, if you will. Well, on the one hand, there's unanimous opinion that the man is guilty, and Rav Kana says, if that happens, he's sent free. The answer to that is what may seem as a technicality, but it's part of the judicial process. Kevon de Gemiri Halonas Din Lemevad Lei Zehusa. Since when there is an opinion ruling guilty, there is a necessity of having the case lay overnight. In other words, after the opinion of guilty is stated, we let the case sit overnight for the purpose of finding innocence, giving a chance for innocence to be, for those opinions who may have said innocent to prevail. V'hani su lo chazu lei. But in this case where there's unanimous thought of guilt, you don't have a side to try to prevail that would argue for innocence. And hence, I can't practice the halonas din requirement. And since that can't be practiced, the case is dropped. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form. the title at the side of the Gemara, Nosei Mivneh. We see the volcano form featured, which has it, within it Ein Moshivin B'Sanhedrin, etc. Techunos, qualifications, Hadrushos, that are necessary to Yoshev B'Sanhedrin. What are the qualifications necessary for sitting in the Sanhedrin? The Gemara mentions a couple of those. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Moshivin B'Sanhedri, Elo Ba'ale Koima, Ubali Chochma, Ubali Mare. The Rashi mentions on Bale Koimo Umarash Te Emoson Mutelas Alabrios. We're talking about people that are tall and have an imposing look about them, so as to create a certain amount of fear on the public. Ubali Zikna, the Gemara goes on, fourth qualification, Ubali Kshofim. These are people that know the art of black magic. Since they have the knowledge, they'll be able to prosecute cases of black magic. In other words, in order to prosecute that matter, you have to know about it. The Rashi says, "Ubalik shofim lahamis mechashvin," in order to see to it that that sorcerers are put to death. Haboitchim b'kshofim linotsu mibdei bezdin. Those people who would rely on their artistry in order to save themselves from Beis Din. Hence, if on the Beis Din itself you have people that are knowledgeable about it, they'll know how to counter that. Ulegalois al hamechashvin hamasitin umadichin bekishveim kagon hamitzriim. And it's also important for them to know about kishofim so they can reveal those who are trying to allure a people away from Judaism through these different powers. Continuing, v'yoidin b'shivim lashon. Another necessity is that they should be knowledgeable in 70 languages, which represents the world language, 70 nations. Shalote sanhedri shamas mipi ha torgimon. So as to alleviate a situation, to avoid a situation whereby the Sanhedrin would not be reliant upon an interpreter. The explanation behind this is that if you have witnesses that are speaking a foreign tongue, we do not want to have an interpreter hearing what the witnesses are saying and then the interpreter conveying that to the court. If that would happen, that would be a problem of aid mipi aid. Of witness hearing testimony from others than are an original source, and that's not allowed. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, Ein Moshivin B'Sanhedrin El Amish Yodea L'Tahir Es Asheretz Min Atura. We will not allow to sit on Sanhedrin unless someone has the power of logic to determine that a sheretz, this is a creature that when dead, the Torah rules, conveys impurity. There are shmoyne shrotzim in the Torah, eight shrotzim that the Torah rules are impure. And the member of Sanhedrin has to have such power of intellect that he could convince us that the sheretz is tohar min ha-Torah. Omar Rav, Ani Adun Vatarenu. Rav says, I could do that. We're now going to see an attempt to mitayer a sheretz min ha-Torah through logic. Afterwards, though, the Gemara will challenge this. Uma nochosh shememis umar betuma. A nochosh, sometimes translated as a snake, in this case a venomous snake, is a creature that creates death, and through its killing, it kills, and uz mar betuma, what does that mean, mar betuma? If it kills a person or a behemoth, it's mar betuma because a dead behemoth has tumas nevelos, the carcass imparts impurity, and a dead person creates tumas meis, And yet, Tahar, we know that a Nachash is not in the list of the eight Shrutzim that the Torah declares as Tameh. So a dead Nachash, even though the Nachash itself is a creature that increases Tumah in the world, it itself is Tahar. Sheretz, She'eno Memis Umar B'Tumah, a Sheretz is a harmless creature. The eight Shrutzim are harmless creatures. They do not kill and increase Tumah in the world. Eino Din Shehei Tahar. So all the more so, they should be Tahar. So through logic, Rav attempts to show that a Sheretz should be Tahar, even though the Torah rules that the Sheretz is in fact Tomei. The Gemara, though, says this logic has a hole in it. Veloihi. This isn't even an attempt. In other words, the fact that the Nochash kills is not grounds for thinking that it should be Tomei. And why is that? Because there are other items that can kill that are obviously Tahar. For example, a thorn or a needle. A needle or a thorn is in and of itself not Tomei, and yet it kills. The Gemara says, Velohi. Not so. Namely, that the fact that the Nochash kills is not grounds for thinking that it, the Nochash, should be Tomei. Midi dahave akoitz bi'alma, similar to a standard thorn. If used to pierce someone's vital organ, it can kill them. Yet no one would think that a thorn is Tomei. Omar of Yudam Arav, kol ear she'ein bo Shnayim Lidaber V'echod Lishmoya Ein Moshivin Bo Sanhedri. Any city that doesn't have two people that are capable of speaking 70 languages and one more person that understands the 70 languages should not have a Sanhedrin placed in such a city. The idea of one who understands, the Echad Lishma, is a reference to a third person who, though he understands, he himself doesn't speak those languages. Ube Beitar, in the city of Beitar, Havu Shloisha, there were three people. There were three people that knew how to speak 70 languages. Ube Yavne Arbo'o, and in the city of Yavne there were four, and they're listed. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, V'Shimon HaTimni Don Lefnei Bakarka. There were three Rabbonim, and the fourth individual was Shimon HaTimni, who, though he wasn't a possessor of smicha, nevertheless, he was present when cases were judged, and he offered his explanations. Don Lefnei Bakarka literally means he judged in their presence while on the ground. Namely, he wasn't seated with them. He may have, in fact, sat on the ground or on a lower position because he wasn't one of the musmochim, one of those who had smicha. Meisvei. The Gemara now asks a kasha on Rav. Shlishis chochma. That means three that can speak 70 languages is an indication of wisdom. Rashi says Shlishis Chochma Sanhedrin Shiesh Bo Shloisha Midabrim B'Shivim Loshon Chochmahi. That's a sign of wisdom, Ukshera, and that's what's kosher. Alma Shloisha B'Inon Lidaber. You see from this source that you need three speakers of 70 languages. Revius Ein L'Malo Himeno. If you've got four, you can't do better than that. The question on Rav is, if you compare the dashed underlined terms, Rav a few lines up said Shnayim Ladabir, and here you see you need three. More answers. Who Diomar Ki Hai Tana? Rav is based on the following Tanaic opinion. Desanyo Shmiya Chochma Shlishis Ein Lamalo Hemena. As we go on in the Gemara, we see an extensive appearance of double underlines, one of our series markings. The title on the outside margin, Nosei Mivneh, we have Rishima, a list, Shel Ta'orim, of titles, V'kinuyim, Shel Rabbonim, different titles and expressions or nicknames, if you will, that are references to specific rabbis. These are terms that appear all through the Shas in different locations where the actual name doesn't appear of the speaker. And here, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Yud Zayin Amud Beis reveals who are the ones behind these different titles. So we continue. Lemeidim lifnei chachomim. If one ever sees that expression, that's Levi Meirebi. It's a reference to Levi, who learned from Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. Donim lifnei chachomim. That expression is a reference to Shimon ben Azai, v'Shimon ben Zoma, v'Chonon Hamitzri, v'Chananya ben Chachinoi. It's a reference to those four Rabbonan. V'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Masni Chamisha. Rav Nachman adds to the list one more person. And the list is as follows. Shimon. Of course, we saw two Shimons already, Shimon ben Azai, Shimon ben Zoma. V'Shimon, a third Shimon. And if you look at the we've dashed underlined this to draw your attention to the fact that he's being added, and follow the arrows that we've provided in the little space to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text, and you see a parallel arrow above. This Shimon is a reference to Shimon HaTimni, who we saw before, and he was described as Don Lifnehem Bekarka. Similarly over here, the expression is used Don Lifnei Chachomim. So the third party in Rav Nachman's list of five is Shimon HaTimni, Chonon v'Chananya. These, of course, are the same that were referred to before. Chananya ben Chachinoi and Chonon HaMitzri. Here, Chonon, which was Chonon HaMitzri, was in position three, two lines up. Here he's in position four because we added before him Shimon HaTimni, and in the fifth position is Chananya, who was previously in the fourth position. Another expression that one finds is Rabo Seinu Shebabovel. Who is that a reference to? Rav Ushmuel. Rabo Seinu Sheberet Yisrael. That's a reference to Rebbe Abba. Dayone Goyla. That's a reference to Karna, a Rav's name. Dayone Deret Yisrael is Rebbe Ami Ravasi. Dayone De Pobadisa equals Rav Pava Bar Shmuel. Dayone De Nahardo'o, Rav Ado Bar Minyumi. Savi De Sura, Rav Huna, Rav Chista. Sabi de Pobadisa, Rav Yehuda, Rav Aino. Harifi de Pobadisa, Efo v'Avimi b'nei Rachba. The sons of Rachba, whose names were Efo and Avimi. Amoroi de Pobadisa, Rav of Rav Yosef. Amoroi de Nahar de'oi, Rav Chamo. Nahar Boloi Masnu. If you see that expression, it's Rami bar Baribi. Amri Beirav equals Rav Huna. We've put a 1 over here because this expression is now going to be the subject of a very brief discussion. The Gemara asks, V'omar Rav Huna Amri Beirav. How can you tell me that Amri Beirav is Rav Huna when we see Rav Huna quotes the Amri Beirav? Elo, so who is Amri Beirav? Rav Hamnuna. Amri b'Marava equals Reb Yirmiya. Shochu mitam equals Reb Yosi, Reb Chanina. We've employed here some more numbering, a Roman numeral 1 with an Aleph and a Beis. This will be significant as we go on in the Gemara. The next expression or title is Machku Allah b'Marava equals Rebbe Elazar. The Gemara now asks on what we've just said. V'ha shalchu mitam l'divrei Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. How can you tell me that shalchu mitam is Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina when we see that shalchu mitam is quoting Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina? In other words, shalchu mitam is a particular opinion who cites Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. So it can't be one and the same. Ela epoch. So let's switch things around as follows. Shalchu mitam is Rabbi Elazar. Machlo alam b'marava is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Hence, when you saw the expression Shalchu Mitam was quoting Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, it really was Rabbi Elazar who was saying something according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice at the outside margin a nosei, a topic heading, Eich magim lemispar 120 keminyan toshavim be'ir kidei sheroi v'sanhedrin. How do you get to the number 120, which the Mishnah said that how many people are needed in a city to warrant having a Sanhedrin, and the Mishnah said 120. How do we account for that number? The Gemara goes on. What's the nature of this 120? The Gemara enumerates. 23 of the 120 will be 23 that constitute the members of the Sanhedrin Ketana. And 3 rows of 23, 3 times 23, 69. Hare Tishim Vitarti. That gets you up to 92. The Rashi explains the upper half of the page. Shalosh Shiros Lekamon Taninon Lehu Be'echodinei Mamonis. In the subsequent parak entitled Echodinei Mamonis, Shim Hutzruchu Lismochu Lehosif Al Hadayonim Somchin Mehem. You have this pool of participants, these 3 rows, from which, if necessary, we would draw from them people to sit on the on the Sanhedrin and give them smicha and have them sit on the Sanhedrin. Hence, you have your basic Sanhedrin of 23, and then another 69 people representing the pool of people from which you would be able to draw if necessary. The Asara Batlonim Shel Beis HaKnesses, another 10 people that are known as the Batlonim for the shuls. These are people that we saw to it that they would not be engaged in different types of work so as to make sure that they would be available for the 10 required for a minyan in the shuls in the morning and in the for the morning services, for the Shacharis davening, and for the Arvis, for the evening services. The Rashi makes reference to a Gemara in Brachas that says that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to a shul and does not find 10 people, he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gets angry. So as to avoid this horrendous situation, the community, if it does so, may want to ensure that it has 10 people that are guaranteed to participate in a minyan. These are known as the Asara Batlonim. Hare Me'avetrei. So if we add up the numbers, we now get up to 102. Let's continue. Ushne Seifrim, 2 scribes. Ushne Chazonim, 2 Rashi calls them Shamoshe Bezdin. These are court agents. Lahalkoi Sechayev Ulahazmin Ba'alei Dinim Ledin. These are people whose job would be to issue lashes if necessary, to carry out lashing people that are guilty of that, and to invite people, to order people to come to court. Ushne Ba'alei Dinim. 2 more represent the 2 litigants. If not for them, there would be no need for a court. Ushne Edim. 2 witnesses. Ushne Zomimim. The community should have 2 more people that would in potential be able to dispel the 2 witnesses by saying, you were with us on that day that you're testifying about the event in another location. Ushne Zomime Zomimin, and 2 more people that could in potential serve as people who would disqualify or testify against the Zomimin. This is all to build in a sense of fear that if someone entertains foul play, for example, to hire Aiden Zomimim, they'll think twice because they might be discovered by 2 more that would prove them to be false. After adding up these numbers, we get up to Hare Mea Varbesar. We're up to 114. Vitanya, and we now have a source. And from this source, we're going to account for an additional 6. So in this source, we're going to notice some additional numberings, and we'll account for that as we go along. Kol ir she'ein bo asora dvarim halalu ein talmud chacham rashoi lodur besocha. Any city that doesn't have the 10 following elements, a talmud chacham should not dwell in there. The 10 elements we're going to account for with letters aleph through yud. At the same time, we have to be aware of the need to account for another 6 people. Those will be accounted for by numbers that you find in the source. If you skim ahead, you'll notice a number 2, a number 3, that indicates 2 people, and then 3 more people, and then a 1, which indicates 2, 3, and 1 is a total of 6. So here is the list of 10 things that must be present in a city in order to warrant or to be recommended for a Talmud Chacham to dwell in such a town. So Aleph, based in Makin Voinchin, an active court that's capable of executing corporal punishment. V'kupa shel tzedaka, a charity chest. Nigveis b'shnayim u'mischalekes b'shlosha. This kupa shel tzedaka the funds are collected for it by 2 people, and funds are distributed by 3 people. So as far as the 10 elements are concerned, we have this kupa shel tzedaka accounts for 2 of those elements, namely that it's a kupa that 2 collect for and 3 distribute the funds. As far as the significance of these numbers, this is really a subject that's discussed at the beginning of Maseches Vava Basra. Continuing in the list of 10, you see Ubeis HaKnesses, a shul, and Ubeis HaMerchatz, a bathhouse. Vav Ubeis HaKiseh should be facilities for relieving oneself. Today, it might seem almost obvious that everyone has these sanitary facilities, bathrooms in people's in every home and office, but nevertheless, it wasn't necessarily so self-understood. So in this case, it's necessary to have in the community for a Talmud Chacham to live in, it should have a Beis HaKiseh. And that was element 6. We're now going to see Zayin, Ches, Tes, and Yud that will appear now one after the other. They're in the form of a person that has different skills. So we have one person that has 4 different skills. Just like we said, one person, this will indicate our 6th individual. We mentioned 2 for collecting the tzedakah, 3 for distributing the tzedakah, that's 5. And now a 6th person that has multiple skills. Rofe, v'uman, v'lablar, umalami tinoikas. One person who's capable of doing all those things. A rofe is someone we would call a moyel, someone who is capable of conducting a bris milah. And uman is someone who we today might refer to as a doctor. Here Rashi refers to him as a bloodletter. A lablor, a person who knows how to write Sifrei Torah, and a lamed tinoikas, someone who can teach children. And Rashi says that all of these roles can be accomplished by one individual. Mishum Rabbi Kiva Amru Af Mine Pera. Rabbi Kiva suggests that another element that should be present in a city before a Talmud Chacham would dwell in it is a city that has fruits in it, because fruits serve to enlighten one's eyes. With that, we complete our shiur for today.